3 days after Buster dropped it off, Ricky's last letter to Al Conyers made it to Chevy Chase. A routine check of Mailbox America by a surveillance team found it. Teddy was between briefings, alone for a moment in his office, when DeVille rushed in holding a thin file. The director adjusted his bifocals. The handwriting was too familiar. He knew it was serious trouble before he began reading. "Dear Al, in your last letter, you tried to end our correspondence. Sorry, it won't be that easy. I'll get right to the point. I'm not Ricky, and you're not Al. I'm in a prison, not some fancy drug rehab clinic. I know who you are, Mr. Lake. I know you're having a great year, just wrapped up the nomination and all, and you have all that money pouring in. They give us newspapers here at Trumbull, and we've been following your success with great pride. Now that I know who Al Conyers really is, I'm sure you'd like for me to keep quiet about our little secret. I'll be happy to remain silent, but it will cost you dearly. I need money, and I want out of prison. I can keep secrets, and I know how to negotiate. The money is the easy part because you have so much of it. My release will be more complicated. But you're collecting all sorts of very powerful friends. I'm sure you'll think of something. I have nothing to lose, and I'm willing to ruin you if you don't negotiate with me. My name is Joe Roy Spicer. I'm an inmate at Trumbull Federal Prison. You figure out a way to contact me, and do it quickly. I will not go away. Sincerely, Joe Roy Spicer." The next briefing was canceled. DeVille found York, and 10 minutes later they were locked away in the bunker. Killing them was the first option discussed. DeVille would work on plans to take the prisoners out, but Teddy was very reluctant. He had no qualms about killing the three, but he was not convinced it would protect Lake. What if the brethren had told someone else? There were too many unknowns. They couldn't predict, and thus they couldn't control, what Lake would do. Somehow the fool had avoided their net long enough to drop something in the mail to Ricky, and he'd been so stupid that the brethren now knew who he was. Not to mention the obvious, Lake was the type of person who secretly swapped letters with a gay pen pal. He was living a double life and didn't deserve a lot of confidence. Confronting Lake was discussed for a moment. York had been advocating a showdown since the first letter from Trumbull, but Teddy kept his eye on the bigger picture. The problems with Lake were small when compared to the urgency of national defense. The Russians were coming, and when Natty Chinkov and the new regime seized power, the world would change forever. The meeting was interrupted by a message from DeVille's office. Trevor Carson's passport had been scanned at a departure checkpoint at the airport in Hamilton, Bermuda. He left on a flight to San Juan, Puerto Rico that was scheduled to land in about 50 minutes. "Did we know he was in Bermuda?" York asked. "No, we did not," DeVille answered. "Evidently he entered there without using his passport." "Let's pick up the scent," Teddy said, his voice only a shade more excited. "Have the plans changed for old Trevor?" DeVille asked. "No, not at all," Teddy said. "Not at all."